Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. This is episode number... I'm going to actually search the episode. Izzy, I suppose at this point you're wondering why I'm talking so softly.
Are you trying to kill me? Softly?
I mean, it's basically what you give to me every week in and week out, same kind of energy.
Yeah. Just really carrying the load here from the energy perspective on my end. I'm hoping you'd step up eventually, but.
This is episode 221, and I am speaking softly because our producer, Jonathan Mosier, got on my case about shouting into the mic, quote unquote. So I can no longer be excited or colorful. I'm going to be dull. And just monotoned, basically. I'm going to be like your high school math teacher.
Where you basically have a Ben Stein podcast.
Yep, you can call me Mr. Hurley from now on.
Mm-hmm.
And I will teach you math. So we're going to have today's podcast is actually math-based. We're going to go through some math items, talk about some math things. Just kidding. We do have a lot of running back talk. Running back. Which is the most important position right now, heading to the midway point of the fantasy football regular season, because there are so many injuries. So we're going to talk about maybe the most entered running backs in the calculator right now in the last couple of days since the week 6 has ended, and we still have the Monday night game. But we're also going to give you some tools and tips on how to make a title run with some Walmart-valued running backs. Is you like that?
I like it.
Like I said, I'm your host, math teacher, Mr. Hurley. Joining me this week is the Pharaoh of math, Izzy Elkafoss.
What's up?
The Pharaoh of fractions.
The Pharaoh of fractions. That's really good.
Is that what you'd be if you were a math teacher in high school?
I kind of have to be if we're kind of going with the rhyming, right? Nothing else really makes sense. Yeah.
I would have to be, what would I be?
The asshole of addition.
Did you say asshole?
Yeah. Is that not
the asshole of addition?
Yeah.
I think that might be a little not safe for work.
No, that's fine.
Oh, it's fine. Okay, that's what all the other teachers call me, at least. We're gonna go with it. The Pharaoh of fractions. The asshole of addition. Addition by subtraction. We're going to get right into this. We're going to keep things short and compact. We're not going to talk about our lives. We're going to get right into the dirty details. Starting off with the most entered players in the Dynasty Trade Calculator in the last 24 hours since week 6 has ended, week 6 Sunday games. I'm just going to list off all the players because I know people are curious on which players are the most entered. And then we're going to say that we're not going to talk about these guys because we've covered them in recent podcasts. But just so you know, T. Higgins was the 10th most searched player. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Cordarrelle Patterson, once again in the top 10 in the last 24 hours. A.J. Brown, Cam Akers. I think people are starting to make moves on Cam Akers at this point now, right? Looks like they're packing it in, they're rebuilding, time to buy Cam Akers.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of people that feel that he's dead, you know, because of the Achilles. So I don't know if he... There are definitely some that would be going after him, but I don't think it's like a mass
exodus.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be an exodus? It would be a mass.
Well, that'd be the people that are selling him, at least, if they thought he was dead.
Yeah, Exodus would be if they're leaving. What would they be doing if they're a mass...
Enter us?
Yeah, I guess mass entrance. Let's just go with that.
Mass enter us.
I like it. Let's go with that.
Could be the reason. And then Javonte Williams. Again, we've talked about him recently, so we'll be covering him. Number four was Jerry Jeudy. And then the third and second most searched players we will be talking about. And then I'll save the suspense for the number one. I think it might be obvious, maybe, so we'll see. But the third most searched player in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database, Darrell Henderson. Are people jumping ship? What's going on there? Why are people searching for him so much?
Just because he had probably just a breakout game and they want to see where, you know, he's trending. He's tough because there's a couple of things kind of working against Darrell Henderson. He has durability issues and the aforementioned Cam Akers kind of
durability.
Nice.
Thank you.
The thing with Darrell Henderson is when he plays, he's actually pretty effective. The problem is that he doesn't play as often as we'd like him to play. And at the same time, it seems like McVay, over the course of the last few years, has made it clear that Darrell Henderson isn't his favorite player. That being said, he is out touching Sony Michel, or at least in the last game, it was 3-1 in terms of touches, which is really good. If you're getting 75% of the workload, that's great. So in week one, 94%. And obviously this was, when did Sony showed up?
Like right away, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right. He did. So week two, 68%. He's hurt week three. Week four, 90%. Week five, 66%. And week six, 82%. So based on the trends, he's gone in the 90s, back into the 60s, 90s, 60s, 80s. So next week, he'll probably be back into the 60s. But I look at this and over the course of, if you average these all out, he's in the mid 70s. To low 80s in terms of his snap share. So if I'm looking at it just from this year, I think he's still relatively undervalued if you're looking for a player in a high octane offense that's actually going to produce for you.
Yeah, you're right. He's kind of being valued as like an early second, probably like a really early second at 11.6 in the calculator database.
Yeah, there's a no man's land in the calculator where you're not quite a first, but you're more than a second.
Yeah.
And that's where teams are going to have to pay a second plus to acquire Darrell Henderson. But most people aren't going to want to give up that first to acquire him. And there's a lot of players that fall in that little pocket.
I'd probably do, like, if you're contending, and we're going to get to that topic probably later on, but maybe like a next year's second and then a following year's second. Would that be too much? Like a couple of mid seconds, but one's 22 and one's 23.
Yeah, I think that's very reasonable.
I think that would acquire him.
If a team is rebuilding, they'd probably accept that for Darrell. And I think if a team is trying to win, I think they decline that.
Yeah, that kind of feels like a happy medium. Oh, you think they'd decline?
If a team is trying to compete, there's a winning team. They're going to decline it. And I think if a team is rebuilding, I think they would take the opportunity to take those 2 seconds. Yeah? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say so.
So anyways, I look at Darrell, and out of the guy, even though he does have durability issues, I think I would probably risk it in this case just because of how good that offense in general is. And if he's out there receiving, you know, his 18 or so touches per game, he's going to turn that into, you know, 15 plus fantasy points. He's played 5 games. He has 5 touchdowns in the season. So he's averaging a touchdown per game. He's on and off target in the passing game. But he's getting enough carries in that offense to make him worth the acquisition if you need to give up a second plus to acquire.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that second plus would be. So let's think about this. What would you add as a player to a Darrell Henderson? What would you add to a second from a player perspective, to acquire Darrell Henderson.
To acquire him? So assuming you're contending again, right? This is kind of like the...
Yep, exactly.
So you'd have to give somebody... I mean, I like my first answer, the 2 seconds, the one next year and one the year after. I don't think you
that
can get away with
that gets
throwing.
Declined. That gets declined. Now you're at a second and you have to add a player.
You think that's getting declined by a rebuilder?
I'm declining it.
Okay.
I've declined it. I need a player from you.
How about somebody like a project, Michael Carter?
I think that's valid.
A second and Michael Carter. Or A.J. Dillon, like right in that pocket. Elijah Mitchell.
Elijah Mitchell, I think, would get rejected.
Okay, so it's got to be Michael Carter and above.
No, I'm saying that I think Elijah Mitchell and a lot of... So, Elijah Mitchell is one of those guys where if you have Elijah Mitchell, I think you overvalue Elijah Mitchell. And if you don't, you don't want to pay to find out. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas I think people, because there's still some allure that he might be it. The problem with guys like Michael Carter and A.J. Dillon is that they have enough negative marks. A.J. Dillon being behind Aaron Jones,
yep,
and Michael Carter being on the Jets, that there's really not a lot of sex when it comes to thinking about their future. Whereas Elijah Mitchell, people are holding out that he could be the guy in San Fran. And if you're the guy in San Fran, wheels up.
Yeah, that's valid.
But I think I like your Michael Carter, A.J. Dillon take. I think that A.J. Dillon might not get it done, but I think Michael Carter would.
That's right on the line. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. And that's honestly like, I understand you have to pay that to acquire Darrell Henderson, but that really sucks. You'd have to give up.
Would you? You would though.
In a vacuum, I would not. As a contender. Yeah. I don't think I would either as a contender. I would.
Really?
Yeah. I would try to knock it down some more.
So you think a second and Michael Carter is too much?
I think I could get a better running back for this year and going forward than Darrell Henderson for Michael Carter in a second.
Give me an example.
Man, it's kind of funny. All the running backs in this pocket are very similar to Darrell Henderson. They're on like a ticking time bomb. So it's like
Chase Edmonds.
Probably not going to have a lot of future. I mean, seems like
there's risk.
Same situation. He's going to have good value this year and then maybe question marks next year. Kareem Hunt, James Robinson. They're kind of all in the same boat, aren't they?
Yeah, James Robinson, I feel, is ahead of those guys pretty comfortably.
Yeah, because of production. Like he's got that.
Like Chase Edmonds is dealing with James Conner. At this point, James Robinson is no longer dealing with somebody else.
Yeah, I agree. And then Chris Carson,
Nah, I don't know.
Miles Sanders.
No, I'm so off. The Miles Sanders thing just pisses me off every time I even think about it. Yeah, even Damian Harris, you're dealing with the same risks. You're dealing with more risks. You're dealing with Bill risks.
Yep. And that's kind of all the ones in or around that tier. So they're just, there just really isn't anything else. So maybe I couldn't get somebody better.
What about trying to go after Leonard Fournette? Instead of going after a Darrell Henderson.
I'd feel better about that.
Okay.
And I acknowledge Leonard Fournette's probably cheaper. So I'd want to add some more to the Leonard Fournette side if I'm giving Michael Carter in a second.
Do you think a second would get it done for Leonard Fournette? I saw him go for a third a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think it would, but I think if the person is rebuilding and they're selling Leonard Fournette, I think they would hold him for ransom and try to get some more. So maybe like a second and a third.
Okay, yeah. I'm with that.
Yeah, that would be a good one, a nice one to target. It's kind of funny, we're depleting some ideas for our next segment here, but that's fine.
It's okay. It's all part of the flow.
So that is Darrell Henderson, though. So I think we've identified why people are searching him. They're just kind of curious about his value. And then, it's the same contemplation we're having on the podcast here. We're trying to understand what it would take to acquire him. And maybe people are kind of flirting with the same quandary.
Yeah. It's interesting because there are, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, there are guys in every single, value range.
Oh my God.
In terms of tiers, where I would look at and be like, yeah, this is a guy that I would target here, and he's cheaper than the guy that I would target in this tier of players. And I think you can get away with it no matter which way you go. Just depends on how cheap you want to be.
Yeah, that's true.
You said, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah, so I'm going to take us off the rails.
Derrick Henry? Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm going to take
Derrick
us off Henry. The rails a little bit for the players here. Derrick Henry is unstoppable.
Unbelievable. I thought he was going to have a down game. I'm looking at this. I don't know if you saw my tweet, but the law of averages suggests that he's going to have a bad game. Like, he can't keep doing this.
He turns 28.
It doesn't matter.
In the off, I think it's in the off season, right? I have a question framed up for you. Where does he go in startups next season when he's a 28-year-old running back but producing like an absolute man that is like two men? Like, Jesus, he was.
I mean,
I'm pretty convinced that he's like the Dwight Schrute, where he was in the womb with a twin, so he was supposed to have a twin, but he absorbed his twin, so he has the power of a man plus a small baby.
I don't know. Like, I also said this a few weeks ago. Any rule that we have to the running backs, Derrick Henry is the exception to that rule. You know what I mean?
He turns 28 this season.
Yeah. I get this feeling that unless durability catches up to him, I think what he's just going to end up being is Eddie George.
Or like
where
Curtis
he's
Martin.
Just where he's not ripping off 4.5, 5 yards per carry, but he's getting 3.5 and just grinding teams down.
So Emmitt Smith?
Eddie George. Like he's Eddie George, if you look at, he was extremely inefficient, different era, of course, but very inefficient as a back. He was just, he grinded games out. Like, you put a beating on a defense when you go up against guys like this.
So what do you say? You think he'll still be a top 10 dynasty running back come next year when he's 28?
No, because rightfully so, people bail on old players for the young ones. Do I think Derrick Henry is going to be an exception? Yes. Do I expect people to take the risk that he is the exception? No.
Do you want to know what's crazy? He's the only running back in the top 25 that is 27 or older. The top 25.
Yeah. Which actually, and we also talked about this. Do you know why this is the case? If you think about it, do you recall the 2014, 2015, 2016 draft classes for running backs were really, really bad? So 2017 is going to be the ultimate test to see what happens with all these 2017-year-old backs that are going to be turning 27 and then 28. Because we just kind of had a little drought there, even dating back to when did we actually have a really good running back class? It's been a while. I guess 2012? No, I'm saying before 2017. 2014 was the running back class. 2015, 2016 was garbage. Zeke and Derrick Henry were the only ones that really came out of that.
I thought 2014 was the wide receiver class. Maybe I'm off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, 2014, there was nothing. It was just the receiver. So I'm talking about
running
backs.
The running back class. Okay. You meant wide receiver. I got you.
Yeah. So the running back class in 2014, 2015, 2016 was pretty poor. Who was 2013? Oh my God. You won't believe who was a 2013 running back.
Giovanni Bernard.
Well, yes, but how long has Eddie Lacy been out of the league? And he was like a high-end starter.
Yeah.
Like a high-end startup pick.
Yeah.
For a few years. And it feels like he's been on the league forever.
Yeah, and Gio doesn't seem like he's, using a walker.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was Lev Bell was 2013.
Andre Ellington. Jonathan Franklin, remember the Packers took Lacy and Franklin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Joseph Randall, Ray Graham. Oh, Zach Stacy. Oh, my God. Monte Ball. Oh, no.
Yeah. Latavius was in that one, too.
Christine
Michael.
Christine Michael,
yeah.
The Spark Freak. Go ahead.
So I look at this, and I'm And I'm really just pointing this out because I think this is the reason, and not necessarily the fact that we've completely given up on running back so early. I just think that we've had a drought of running backs being elite. And there's a pocket of 3 years where these players would be 27, 28, 29 right now, but we just haven't been able to, because there really hasn't been anybody.
And I guess maybe Derrick Henry could be in that same Adrian Peterson class, right?
He could be. Yeah, he could be Fred. Even remember a guy like Fred Jackson, he played well. Frank Gore, Adrian Peterson, these are all the guys most recently. Marshawn Lynch played to how long?
Yeah, and he just keeps coming back. I think he's a threat to return again.
No, he's done. He's done now. But yeah, I think there's definitely an opportunity, I think, for him to be that guy of, I guess, this generation of players, where he's the guy that's still grinding. Marshawn went to 31. His last good season was 31.
Impressive.
His last elite season was 28. He had a decent season at 31 for Oakland. But yeah, the obviously the workload is very concerning for Derrick Henry. Just the pace that he's on. But it blows my mind. It's funny. When I was talking, you said, "Oh my God," under your breath. It's like I immediately knew what happened without actually, because you're ahead of me. You must have been ahead of me. I must have paused. Because about 10 seconds later, he ran it in. But that's how good he is. He's incredible.
By the way, you talked briefly about workload, and maybe that's what he's got going for him, because you remember he spent those first couple seasons just being completely underutilized. And I'm looking at, it's crazy. He was drafted in the same draft class as Ezekiel Elliott, right?
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry through last year, I believe. Actually, this might even include this season. I don't know if it does.
Yeah, it does.
Nice. So Pro Football Reference does include carries and touches this year, but Derrick Henry on his career has 1,324 touches, and Zeke is over 1,500. This is just carries. And you know that Derrick Henry doesn't get a lot of work in the passing game, and Zeke gets plenty.
Yep. You said he had 1,100 or 1,300?
Derrick Henry has over 1,300 carries in his career, and Ezekiel Elliott has over 1,500 carries in his career.
Yeah. The magic number used to be, I think, 2,000 carries where players started to break down.
So maybe Derrick Henry is pretty good to go for a while yet.
Maybe it was 1,800 carries. I don't know. We actually looked this up a while ago. I'm talking like 5-6 years ago, before we even launched the site. And we looked at, and I don't remember what the number was, but we looked at when running back started to falter in terms of carries. And now I don't recall what that number was.
It was above 28. Yeah. It's in between 28 and 30.
No, I'm saying what number of carries, not necessarily the age, but the number of carries before
I think the data has changed considerably.
Maybe.
We've had that was back when we were analyzing DeMarco Murray, and it was more about the amount of carries they had in the previous season. And then they fell off too. I think that was a big part of the discussion, but yeah. Okay, so that was the Derrick Henry. That's the context for the oh my gosh. The other piece that I'm sidetracking us with is kind of a personal, selfish topic that I want to ask you about. It's kind of a commissioner topic, so maybe other commissioners out there and other players can relate. I have a home fantasy league. This is my original dynasty league, okay? And I'm playing against a guy who at some point on Sunday, I discovered during the afternoon games that he actually had a player on IR that shouldn't have been on IR. And I know how you feel about IR.
Stupid.
He had Tua on IR. So I reached out to the commissioner as soon as I noticed him, hey, I just want you to know that it's probably not going to make a difference, but my opponent has a player still on IR. So he has an illegal lineup. But I wanted to let you know as soon as possible so that way he could fix it. And if they're, because usually this league gives you, you cannot score points while your lineup is illegal. So I wanted to tell him as soon as I could. At the time, MFL had me projected to win. I think I was an 82% projected to win, because I still had some players playing and then Stephon Diggs tonight. Now, here's the thing. I got it pulled up on the screen. I am now 27% to win because he had some players in last night's games that did pretty well. Deontay Johnson, I think that was last night. Can't remember. I don't remember who played last night. And Stephon Diggs isn't exactly burning it up through a quarter and a half yet. So now I'm 27% to win. I'll probably lose. How would you handle this as a
you're 13? You're 13 points down in this league, and he's projected to win 75. Is this a PPR league?
Yes.
Wow, there must be really low on Diggs' projection.
Well, it's because he's kind of slow started. You think that he'll score 13 more from this point forward?
Yeah, there's 9 minutes left in the second quarter.
I guess. So anyway,
I think it'd be a 50-50 proposition at worst.
That's fine.
But yeah, anyways.
The point is, I'm hoping this is moot. I'm hoping this is all moot. But as a commissioner, how would you rule on this? So the guy, fixes IR midway through the afternoon, like the late games yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say I do lose. How do you rule on that?
By the way, this is why I hate IR.
Yeah, go ahead and you can give your full take.
I fucking hate IR. It's the dumbest thing in all of Dynasty fantasy in general. If you want IR, just add an extra roster spot. It's the dumbest thing. All you end up doing is having issues like this. It serves no good. I really don't understand the purpose of it. And nobody's really been able to explain it to me. And if you say just open up an extra roster spot, what's the comeback to that? I just don't get it. It's all it does is add more on a commissioner's plate to run around and make sure that everything is in line. There's no mistakes with whatever the league is. There's no issue. Like, even though MFL has this, you can't set a lineup issue if you haven't a guy in IR. Well, if you don't change your lineup, you can still have an ineligible guy on IR.
Yeah.
But accrue points.
I agree.
So it's a flawed system.
I agree with you. I think it makes more sense to not have players and commissioners police the IR spots. Just add a couple extra roster spots so you don't have to deal with it. But
and
now,
who's going to say no to that? Who says, no, I don't want the roster spots? There's Diggs catching a touchdown, by the way.
You know what? You want to know what's funny? This league, actually, I suggested that a couple years ago. This league voted it down, and I think they want it to be...
Is this the league, by the way, that has the restrictions on how many players you can have at each position?
Yes. You can't have more than three quarterbacks. You can't have more than five running backs or receivers.
Stupid.
You can't have more than three tight ends, three kickers, three defenses. Yes.
It's like the Neanderthal of of fantasy leagues.
But there's taxi and IR. Yeah. And IR is flexible, too. Like, that you can have second-year players on IR. So at least there's that, but it creates a bottleneck when you're having to promote those guys if you had a big draft, you know?
Stupid. What I would do if I was commissioner is, one, I would do nothing about the violation because MFL let it happen, unfortunately, unless there's rules written in the bylaws that state what the penalty is.
There is.
What is it?
As long as a player's lineup is illegal, which in this case, this qualifies as illegal because he's got IR, active IR players, his team cannot score points.
And it's written in there by the commissioner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trades, transactions. Let me check the lineups here. Because this was ruled on in previous years. I'm pretty sure it's in here. I'll try to find it. If at any time in the regular season your roster is deemed to be illegal, your team will have 10 points deducted from that week's total. Okay.
Okay.
This will continue until you have a legal roster. If you start a player that's on a bye. Okay, so that's an anti-tanking rule. Okay, so it looks like a 10-point deduction in the bylaws.
Yeah, then I think that's reasonable.
Okay.
And then after this happens, I would remove IR if I was the commissioner.
Maybe I'll suggest it again. Yep. So hopefully now I'm 84% to win after Stephon Diggs scored a touchdown.
Yeah. and you've won based on the 10-point rule. If it's written in the bylaws, then you don't have a choice. You got to deduct the 10 points.
So, and again, I like where you're going. So let's say there's listeners out there that don't have it written in the bylaws. You kind of would play it by ear. And would you do some sort of deduction like that? Or how would you rule on it?
If it's not written in the bylaws, I would just tell the dude, hey, get it, pull him off IR and fix your lineup, please.
Okay, fix your face.
To be honest with you, like, and this is just me, and obviously you've known me for a long time. As a fantasy player, commissioner, I'm not a big fan of the gotchas. You know, like, I don't want to win on a gotcha. Like, it's just not my style. Like, if I was going up against somebody that had an IR violation, I probably wouldn't even say anything. I might mention it and be like, hey, fix your IR. I might, you know, poke fun of him or like kind of like give him a backhanded comment.
Okay.
But I would never actually want the rule enforced against somebody in that case. The only time I actually get pissed off is when you don't start your players, your best players, when you're actively tanking. Now, if there are ways around that, great. For instance, I'm in a league that allows taxi, that has taxi. So if I'm tanking, what I end up doing is I will put my rookies, even though they're producing, on taxi instead of dropping veteran players to promote the rookies. And then I just roll out with what I have with my veterans.
Roll out. Oh, what a great song.
So it's like, yeah, it is a good song. So it's kind of a, like, I'm playing within the rules of the sandbox here. Do I like taxi? No, I think taxi is lame too. But the way that the league is set up allows you to do that. So in that case, I'll end up utilizing those rules.
There you go.
Staying within the frame of the rules. But yeah. Anyhow, I don't like that league. I don't like any of that league.
Yeah,
the roster limitations, the IR, the whole thing.
Yeah, and to its defense, it was pretty standard when it started up in the early to mid 2000s.
Early in the mid,
and it just hasn't changed much. You know, it hasn't adapted. I agree. So moving on to getting the podcast back on the rails, we talked about Darrell Henderson as one of the most entered players in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. Next one is number 2 in the database. And by the way, I'll just skip the suspense. I'll tell you who the number 1 is since we won't be talking about him. We've talked about him a lot in previous podcasts. Christian McCaffrey. A lot of people are wondering about what they should be doing with Christian McCaffrey. Maybe listen to last week's podcast. I think it might have been last week. But we've covered him really recently. So we'll be skipping over him and covering the number 2 most searched player in Antonio Gibson, who we haven't really talked a ton about in previous podcasts. So it's nice to see him peaking up there. So why are people searching for Gibson so much?
I think the shin thing is, we actually talked about this a couple weeks ago. And I believe we were talking and saying, this sounds like this is a fracture. And the concern is that, what happens if, I think it was a fracture, right? He's got like little fractures in his shin or something where it could definitely be worse if he continues to play. And there could be a situation where he has to miss a lot of games. So we were just kind of talking about that. And I think the reason why he's being searched is because of, I think people are looking and saying, okay, how much does his value drop now that he does have the shin injury? And can I still cash out on him? I think more people are looking to see if they can cash out on him than they are looking to see if they can acquire him.
Sure. I think I agree with that. Antonio Gibson undergoes IR MRI on his lower leg.
Yeah. I think this is the most obvious outcome based on what we knew.
Do you think there's some risk that he could be shut down for the season?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Especially if it gets
worse. Maybe
people
are kind of scared in their...
They might be scared.
To quote somebody, they're taking their medicine and taking a slight loss on Antonio Gibson just to get out from under that.
Yeah. So I said something week one when Gibson had 20 carries and then 5 targets in the passing game. I loved the fact that he was getting his 20 carries. He was getting that full workload and he was being targeted in the pass game. Ever since that podcast, he had 13 carries. Two targets, 12 carries, 2 targets, 14 carries, 2 targets, 20 carries, 2 targets, and then 10 carries, 3 targets.
Yeah.
And his snap percentage has come down just about every single week.
Dang.
He's not. JD McKissick. JD, yeah.
Katie McKissick.
Yeah, Katie McKissick is a big issue for Gibson, and he wasn't as much week one. Like, he played in week one, but he wasn't targeted in the pass game as much as he has been ever since that first week. And now, not only is a shin issue an issue, shin injury, let's go that way, so it's not shin issue an issue, shin injury an issue, it's the fact that he's not getting passing down work either. And for a guy that came into the league as a receiver running back combo, I think he's being severely underutilized. And I get JD McKissick's a great third down back, but you don't need to wait until third down to give your running back some touches in the pass game.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty, as much as I was, the five targets week one, as much as I was excited to see that, he hasn't hit that number since. And he's only hit that 20 carry mark one time since then as well.
So you're still selling him though? Like his value hasn't quite yet dropped because of his injury? He's still being valued like in the top 10 range of running backs? You'd sell at that?
I think he's outside the top 10.
Okay. You think he's falling?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get it. He is 23 years old.
Here, let's just do this. This is always fun. Who would you rather have? And like maybe try to speak as if you're the general population, not Izzy. You can do both.
Okay.
Antonio Gibson or Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it has to be Gibson, no?
Yeah, 3 years.
I mean, he's so much younger than Antonio Gibson is. If you're rebuilding or contending, you can make a case to acquire him.
I think this injury would almost make me lean Zeke.
So basically what you're saying is if because he can't help you this year, it goes to Zeke.
Yeah, since there's the risk of, and it's almost like just being able to have the option to move away from whichever running back I have. Like if Antonio Gibson gets shut down for any extended amount of time, it's going to be much harder. His value will be temporarily lowered until he comes back, especially for a contender. Maybe not so much for a rebuilder, but I think Zeke gives you some more options to trade, you know? And I'm going, this is my vacuum. This is not me.
So let's think about this. Let's do this. You know what? Put up a poll. When all else fails, we put up a poll.
Poll position. It's supposed to be the poll portion of the podcast. Put it up, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to, while you're posting some polls, I'm going to spit off a couple more options and I want you to choose a side, okay? And this will be, since we're doing polls, we'll have you pick which side you like better. Okay. So you like Gibson ahead of Zeke personally, right?
Yep.
Gibson or Eckler?
Gibson.
And then this is probably one of the only ones that, see, I'm working my way backwards. These are guys that are technically valued lower than Antonio Gibson, but I want to see if there's somebody in here that kind of piques your interest. This is the one I think might be questionable. Antonio Gibson or Joe Mixon? I like Mixon better.
I am a Mixon fan. I do like Mixon a lot as a player. So yeah, I'd probably have Mixon. I'd prefer Mixon over Gibson. But I'd rather have Mixon and Gibson ahead of Eckler and Zeke.
Yeah, I agree. The next string of these guys are very interesting. Would you rather have Aaron Jones or Antonio Gibson? For me, it's probably Gibson.
Yeah, Gibson.
Gibson or Javonte Williams?
I'd probably roll the dice with Javonte Williams.
I would too, actually.
But I think we're in the minority pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I think Javonte's 21. He's the future. You know, Melvin Gordon. That's obvious what's happening there. I like the future for Javonte pretty well. And this one's more interesting because I think his value is currently temporarily deflated because of injury. Antonio Gibson or David Montgomery? Pretty similar, in my opinion. Pretty similar players, situations.
I think it's Gibson. Should be a lot harder for me to between Monty and Gibson, but I look at it from a dynasty perspective. People have soured so much on Monty, even though he's productive.
Yeah. Well, and injured, and Fields just doesn't look good.
Yeah, I'd rather have Gibson just because he gives me more flexibility.
Okay. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the next one down. I know you don't like Helaire.
Over him. Like we had talked about, Darrell Williams, everything that we've been waiting on for Clyde, Darrell just did.
Darrell's doing. So, and last couple, two more guys. Josh Jacobs, I know we're getting quite a bit lower than where Antonio Gibson is, but I think Jacobs has lost significant value where he's not really in that tier. And then J.K. Dobbins is only interesting because when the season ends, J.K. Dobbins should probably be fully restored, right, to a top 10, top 12 running back in Dynasty?
I don't know if he'll get that high, but he'll sniff it.
Why wouldn't he? I don't understand why he wouldn't.
I guess he might because some of these guys that are ahead of him are going to be turning that 27 where people will start fading him in startups.
Yeah, and J.K. Dobbins is still only 22.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see the Taylor Lewan injury? I missed it.
Nope.
Thumbs up, though. That's good.
Well, his thumb's okay then.
Back-to-back nights where we had a carted off like this head injury, gurney style.
Oh, that's not good. Oof, I won't joke about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was kind of a fun little 360-degree coverage of Antonio Gibson's value and some players around him. The bottom line here is that there's lots of players kind of near that tier that you could flex over to and maybe even get a little bit of change on the top, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And I think we're going to probably be covering polls again pretty soon here, but in the meantime, I actually tweeted out, so like we covered a Darrell Henderson as our first player, and I tweeted out Darrell Henderson or 2 seconds, one in 2022 and one in 2023, both mid, just to kind of see what the poll would be. And after 50 votes, it's sitting at 65% for Darrell Henderson.
My poll, 86. You want to see my poll?
Yeah, let's go through. I mean, it's a good time to recap the polls. Why not, right?
Yeah, 86 votes already through 5 minutes here.
And what was Antonio the poll again? Gibson,
Antonio Gibson versus Zeke. Antonio Gibson, 56%. Zeke, 44%.
Okay. So, I mean, it is close enough where you could literally flip a coin. How many votes did you say?
86. So pretty substantial.
That's significant. That's more votes than mine has. And then was there another poll or is it just the one?
That's just the only one that I put up.
Nice. Okay. Well, yeah, that's interesting. We'll see. And maybe what I'm doing is probably projecting. I wonder how many people know the details of Antonio Gibson's shin injury.
Yeah. I don't know. I hate the injuries where they exist and a player plays through them and there is a chance for further injury. It feels like for running backs, it's like it's inevitable.
I agree.
They take so much contact that it's inevitable that it's going to resurface as an issue.
I agree.
I have zero Gibson anywhere.
So do I. I have one.
I have zero Zeke, too. I have no Zeke, no Gibson. No Eckler.
I took him in the nerd calculator startup. Do you remember that? I drafted him in the startup and then waited and traded.
I remember that. That was probably one of the worst trades I've ever seen you make.
What was it?
It was bad. You gave up Gibson and you received like garbage.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad.
That's not good. That was before he broke out, but yeah, I think somebody.
Yeah, it was before he broke. At that time, he was being drafted in the third round.
Oh, I liked him. I acquired Denzel Mims in a first for him. That wasn't bad.
No, it was something else. It was different. It was a different trade. I remember us talking about this at the.
This is the nerd calculator trade, though, because I remember drafting him, and then like that summer when Darius Geis got released and stuff like that. I started offering him to people for a second. I thought I could cash out, and because I didn't believe that Gibson would be the guy, you know? So I'm like, hey, anybody want to take Gibson for a second? He's on the block. Like, just let me know. And nobody would give me a second for him. And he just, as time went on, his value just kept going up and up and up. It was hilarious. And ultimately, I sold him December of that season after he'd already basically broken out. And I said, I got Mims, who I liked at that moment. I really liked Mims. God, I'm bummed about that. And I got a first, 2021 first.
Hmm.
And I think it was my own first back.
Yeah, so value obviously lost that one. Maybe it was a different Gibson trade that I saw.
Well, what did I use my first on? Trey Lance?
Probably traded it again.
No, this is it. This is my first. So I drafted Trey Lance with that first. So Trey Lance and Mims for Gibson. Yeah.
Ended up working out. I think that's reasonable.
That's a good trade. But anyway, yeah. So since we're kind of on the topic of running backs, I want to finish the podcast off really quickly with our final topic. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like title run value running back. So like right now, just like we're talking about Antonio Gibson's injury, Darrell Henderson can't stay healthy, Christian McCaffrey, every single running back that's been entered in the calculator is injured basically right now, or has injury concerns. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we're littered with injuries. Kareem Hunt just went down. Nick Chubb's been banged up. Like, you can go down this entire list and there's not a safe person on here. Dalvin Cook.
Yep.
What else have we got here?
Oh, the entire...
Yeah, David Montgomery. I feel like we say this every year, but it's got to be one of the most significantly injured years I can remember in recent memory. But Anyway, really quick, I'm gonna kind of give you... I'm going to spit off some players just below that tier that we finished off with when we were talking about whether you trade them for Antonio Gibson. And I want you to tell me if they're a buy for a Walmart-priced playoff run running back, okay?
Yeah.
I think the first one is the best one that I'm going to ask you is Cordarrelle Patterson. Currently valued in the calculator at an 8.2, which would be equivalent to a very early second. It's going to be a guy that you're not going to get much more than this year out of. Would you be buying him if you're making a title run for that price?
The volume isn't great, but the efficiency is, right?
Elite efficiency, and his bye week is complete.
Man, so if you're a contender, you're probably looking at a late second plus. You'd likely have to give up 2 seconds to get him because you have to give up 2 late seconds to acquire him.
You think so? Oh, that's painful.
Yeah. You know me, dude, and I say this all the time. If you look at your matchups, if you go back and look at every single matchup you had, so this year it'll be 17, but let's say 16 matchups. So you go to the finals and you play your finals and you go back and look at every single matchup you had. How often do you think you finish within 10 points of your competition?
I would say not often. Should I just, for kicks, just take a look at this league that I'm currently looking at right now?
Sure. Yeah. Look at your first 6 weeks.
Reports franchise weekly results. Week one, I lost by 0.2.
Okay.
This is going to be bad for your theory already, I think. Week two, I won by 12.
Okay.
Week three, that's the one I lost by like 28. Week four, I won by 24.
Okay.
Week five, I lost by 34.
Okay.
And week six is within 5 points.
Okay, and that's the one that you're in right now.
Yeah.
The game they're in right now. And so 2 out of 6. So actually that's in line. So when I looked at all of my leagues, and this is based on last season, because I had this long standing conversation with people on Twitter about he traded CeeDee Lamb for Keenan Allen like week 10.
Oh,
it was Addison Hayes.
I remember this.
In order to make a push for the title. And this is like week 10 or week 11. And I had told him like, you should never do that because the odds are so heavily against you in a setting where you need that difference. The difference between CeeDee Lamb and Keenan Allen, let's say, hypothetically speaking, last year was 10 points. And let's say the difference, and that's a lot. I think it's probably more like 5 or 6 points.
Well, and then you guys went on to track every single week, though.
And none of the weeks he 0 for 6. He went on to win the championship, but Keenan Allen was made not a difference in the world.
That's hilarious. And he lost CeeDee Lamb over it. I bet this year he's losing games because of that.
Exactly. So I actually went back and looked at how many matchups fell within 10 points. And it was right around 30%.
That's crazy.
So 3 out of 10 weeks, you're going to have a matchup that falls within 10 points. Win or loss. So I look at that very simply as that's just the difference that that player would make in any random game. 30%. Are you really going to trade all of that just for that 30% hit? And that's assuming that when you do need that 30% hit, it's at the right time.
Yeah, you got to get lucky.
So it's like, it's such a, I don't know, it's a losing proposition. Don't do it. So when you're asking me these questions, Cordero, you know, when we're looking at a guy like Cordero Patterson, or, you know, when we're talking about Darrell Henderson may have a little bit more staying power just because of his age. He's 24. But when we're talking about, you know, guys like Patterson, guys like Fournette, yeah, we're really looking at it and saying it's really just for this year, most likely.
Yeah.
And my rule, my theory is just no, don't do it. So when you ask me Patterson, I would say no.
Okay. For that price. Yep.
For that price. Yeah. I have to give up multiple seconds or a really good second or a low second and a player.
That's a pretty good blanket rule for all of these guys I'll be listing off, but really quickly, just for the fun of it.
But there becomes a point where it's worth it because the risk reward factor is insignificant. I'd rather have the 30% chance over the risk of losing X player.
Yep, that's true.
Or X pick. Anyways, so keep going. Keep asking me players, and I'll tell you where my line is.
So I think the next one was Leonard Fournette. I thought that was a really good one. So he's valued slightly under Cordarrelle Patterson at 8.0. Again, kind of like the early to mid second range. More close to mid, like a 204, 205 kind of thing.
Nope.
He's a no. Melvin Gordon's a no. He's just kind of like, nope. Eh. Melvin Gordon's painful. These guys aren't really helping your team too much. Mike Davis was a good one, but again, same age as Melvin.
Nope. There are a couple players lower down that I would do it.
Let's see. The next guys down are Zach Moss, Tony Pollard, James Conner. I mean, those guys aren't exactly what I would call good reinforcement for a championship run.
No, they're not.
They're not getting the volume to be able to sustain that. Let's see.
So there's two answers that I think are viable.
Latavius?
No.
Hines? Oh, maybe like these McKissick and Hines kind of guys would make sense.
Hines, no. McKissick and Jamal Williams would be the two.
Okay.
So if I needed running back reinforcements, I would be going after Jamal Williams or McKissick.
There you go.
For the simple reason that I really just need to give up a third plus a future piece. A future piece that probably doesn't have a whole boatload of upside. So let's say you are a rebuilder and you're sitting on McKissick or Jamal Williams. Maybe you could do something stupid like a third plus Paris Campbell.
Yuck. But I get it.
Just saying. If you're a rebuilder, McKissick ain't going to probably help. I mean, he might help. He's 28. He'll probably be productive at 29, but the person that's holding McKissick is probably viewing McKissick as worthless to him after the season, which I kind of disagree with. I think he's actually carved out a role for himself to where he's basically the DC version of James White.
You've never watched any DC movies either, have you?
No, I don't even know what's DC.
So you said it without even understanding what it is?
Well, because he's in Washington, D.C.
Oh, so I thought you were saying DC, like the superhero movies, because like the Marvel movies are so much better, so he'd be like the DC version of, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go with your way. What does DC stand for?
DC stands for Detective Comics. I did not know that. My mind is blown.
What did you think it was? You had no idea.
Like, literally, when you asked me that, I had no clue. And I kind of panicked a little bit. I went to Google. I tried to be slick.
Yeah. No, I obviously have no idea. I didn't even know what you were talking about.
Because I've always just, it's always just DC Comics. So I assume that the C was comics, but it's kind of funny that the word comics then becomes redundant. So it's Detective Comics comics, but it's Detective Comics. I'm so thrown off by that. How interesting.
Yeah, wow. It's just such a weird name for it, but yeah. Let me see. What's another third plus? Let me look at this list of wide receivers here, because I think that's probably the best exchange you can make. Is a third plus. Like you said, to you, Paris Campbell is gross, so you would decline that. But you could look at Josh Palmer, third plus Josh Palmer.
I like Josh Palmer better. Or Kadarius Toney before he broke out. Maybe you'll get lucky with Palmer in the same way.
That would have, yeah, that would, yeah. Yeah, I said Paris Campbell. You said no to that. What about would you be willing to give up? Yeah, it's probably pretty low for him. I was going to say DJ Chark, but I think I'd rather have DJ and roll the dice on him. But I think some people would give up on Chark in order to try to get a McKissick or Jamal Williams in that case. Wow.
Okay.
Right? I don't know.
I mean, the case, I cannot believe how far from grace DJ Chark has fallen.
Well, he shat the bed last season. He struggled this season, and then he's out for the season now. Now he's worth a late second.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Right? What would you pay for Chark?
I guess you're kind of right. He's probably like in that late second area, maybe. Like,
would you give up a late second for him?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
It's close. The whole point is it's close. It is, when you hear the name, you're like, wow, he's in that Jamal Williams tier, like, for players. But if you think about Jamal Williams, if you have Jamal Williams, you're probably not giving up for a third. You probably need a mid to late second. And same thing with Chark. You're probably giving up for a mid second.
Yeah.
To get rid of him. Early second. Early second, you're kind of really pushing it.
There you go.
Mid second, I think, is the number.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Well, I do like where we landed there. JD McKissick, Jamal Williams, a couple of great targets to go after. Maybe if you're making a championship run and you want something kind of cheap, you don't want to sell the farm. Or maybe you've exhausted all your assets, your picks, and you've only got a couple of thirds left, something like that. These are some options that might get you some good points to reinforce it. What's that?
Would you do Quez Watkins? He's kind of had a little bit of a...
I like Quez. Yeah, I like Quez considerably better than... who's the first one you said again now?
Paris Campbell.
Yeah, Campbell. I don't know. I just Paris Campbell. I don't have a... I have such a negative connotation when his name's mentioned. Ugh.
Yeah, he's just oft injured. Yeah, I mean, he's funny. He's got a touchdown. And he's like the new John Ross.
Yeah, that's true, except for he's not as fast. He's like the DC John Ross.
Yeah, nobody's as fast as John Ross, but he's up there.
Well, I mean, that automatically makes him the DC version. John Ross is the Marvel version of John Ross.
Detective Comics.
Detective Comics, how about that? All right, everybody, I'm gonna finish off the podcast on a quieter note again so the producer doesn't yell at me. It's kind of funny. He's yelling at me for yelling. I don't like to be yelled at.
You think that he'd want more energy?
No, he wants mo energy.
Nice. Well,
he doesn't want more energy. He wants mo energy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everyone, we appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you check out the website, dynastytradeclicker.com.
Real quick, before we finish it off,
yeah.
The Zeke Gibson, 138 votes. It is 51-49 in favor of Gibson.
Wow. So it was warranted. I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Close. What about your polls?
Should we my poll? Okay, here it is. Oh, it is a landslide. Darrell Henderson, 74.1% of the vote. So it's not even close. So it seems
over 2 seconds.
What?
Over 2 seconds, you're saying? Over two late
seconds? Over 2 seconds, yeah. One is a 2022 mid, and the other was a 2023 mid. Darrell Henderson in a landslide.
Yeah, and in the calculator, he's well above that too.
I guess that makes sense. That would not be enough to acquire a Darrell Henderson.
Mm.
but it might be enough to acquire a Daryl Williams. That's all we got for you guys. Make sure you check out the website, DynastyTradeCalculator.com. Follow us on Twitter, at FFDynastyTrades, for awesome, amazing polls like the ones we just mentioned in the podcast and much, much more. Tune in next week as we talk about more things and stuff. Bye! I'm sorry, Mojer, that was... Oh, your part was really loud, too. Bye. I'm last, 101 pick. I'm bad, bad at the bone, they mad at the dome.